Murphy says to Casey, what's that you've got in your hand? He says, they're cod's eyes. Two cod's eyes. He says, what are they for? For giving you brains. He says, you're joking. He says, they're a pound each, and they give you brain food. He says, I'll buy them off you for £2. He says, thanks. There you are. So we met him the next morning. He says, remember those cod's eyes you give me? I gave you £2. He said, that's right. I could have bought 48 cod's eyes for £2. So there you are. They're starting to work right away.
This lad was always fighting in scraps. The police took him in the police station there and his mother came to see him. She says, Tony, what's the matter with you? Always a fighting and playing and through and terrible fights is shocking. He says, don't talk like that, mother. She says, I'm a working all the day to make a nice little home for you and your father's are down the pit and he's working his fingers to the bones. What's the matter with you, Tony, she said. He says, don't talk like that, mother. She said, what do you mean, don't talk like that? He says, you're not Italian.
Today the world's changing, isn't it? And we've got to be quick these days. Have you noticed how quick people are becoming? They've got an answer for everything. You know what I mean? Like the phone went in the hospital and the matron said, hello, yes. And a voice said, I'm inquiring about the gentleman in Ward A. Could you tell me how he is? She said, yes, he's very comfortable. He's having his operation tomorrow. Who's speaking? He said, it's a bloke in Ward A. Here. Nobody tells me anything, you know. I mean...
Oh, John, this is true, this. There were a little midget, you know, and a grand little fella... And he got on train at Donny, and he were going to Peterborough, but he got on this train, and he's belted along, and he said to... He said, there you are, where we off? They said, London. He says, I'm on a show at Peterborough. He said, well, we don't stop. He says, you'll have to stop. He said, you'll have to do. He said, well, he said, hold on, I'll go see driver, see what we can do for the old look. So he said to driver, he says, this midget is on a show at Peterborough, can we help him? This is only one thing we can do. We'll slow down, going through the station. He said, fetch him here. So he says, come here. He said, look, cop. He says, Peterborough. He says, but we don't stop. He says, I know, but I'm... He said, well, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. He says, we get in here. I'll slow the train down. He says, I'll take the oak with scruff and neck. Hang the hat at window and get the little legs going, see? So he does this and his legs are going. And he dropped him smack on Peterborough Station. He's going like, whoa. And guard looked out and he seen this. So he whipped him up. He says, by gum, Dan nearly missed it that time. Oh, no.
No, actually, you read a lot about in the paper. You read a lot about different things in the papers. You read about heart transplants. Well, I was in the northeast of England about 4 weeks ago, and there were three fellas in a club having an argument. One was an American. He said, Mac, in the States, we transplanted a kidney into a guy and 3 weeks later he was out looking for work. A Russian fella got up. He said, in Russia, we transplanted a heart into a patient. 2 weeks later he was out looking for work. A little Yorkshire fella got up. He said, I'll tell thee what. He was a Welsh Yorkshireman, this fella was. We transplanted a fella from Huddersfield into 10 Downing Street. 3 weeks later there were 200,000 out looking for work. Well, it's true, there's a lot of unemployment all over the country. I mean, take South Wales. My friend Di hasn't worked for 40 years. He hasn't worked for so long, one of his insurance stamps is worth more than a penny black. Shows how lazy they are in the family. His son hasn't worked for 10. Sitting in the kitchen one day, he said, son, go outside and see if it's raining. He said, I got a better idea. Call a dog in, see if he's wet.
And what about this woman that come running out of the bank screaming blue murder? And this policeman said, what's up? She said, an elephant's just been in and robbed the bank. He said, will you recognise it again if you see it? She said, no, it had a stocking over it. She said... I'm a riot, sounds that. Hey, and it's funny, you know, it's funny, because... But, you know, when I go shopping now, and I'm not... acting daft, you know, and I'm being serious. And I walk in, and I walked into this shoe shop, and I said, a pair of crocodile shoes, please. He said, certainly. What size is your crocodile saying? We're having a good time, aren't we? I have the same trouble getting a suit, you know. I walked into this shop and I said, I want to try that suit on in the window. He said, well, you can't. You'll have to try it on in the cubicle. hey, and I was in this pub, and this fella came in and he said, a double whiskey drinks all round and have a pint yourself. And the manager said, thanks very much, £5.15. He said, I haven't got any money. He went, smack, get out. I don't come back. He said, all right then. So the next night he come in again and he said, a double whiskey, drinks all round and nothing for you. He said, why? He said, you get nasty when you've had a drink.
Irishman came home from the building site. Full of stuff. The landlady says, hey, I'm glad you're early, Paddy, she said. The bulb's gone in the best room. She says, I'll fix that for you, Mrs. Woman. Don't you worry about that. And he walks in the best room and stands on £1,000 piano. Beautiful piece of furniture. And this muddy well, isn't it? She said, hang on, I'll put a bit of paper under your feet. He said, no, you're all right, I can reach it. He said. Napoleon rode to the top of this hill on his horse. Weighing the job up there, 50,000 Russian troops out front, 25,000 of his own troops galloping behind him, and he shouts, halt! They all stopped about 4 miles away. And this footman pushed his way through all the troops and run 4 miles to Napoleon, he went. Napoleon said, what do you want? I thought he shouted me. He said, I shouted, halt! Oh, he said, I thought he shouted, Walt. The doctor said, I'm very, very worried. He said, what are you worried about? Have you got a good home? He said, yes, I live in Cheshire, nice big home there. Yacht, Cannes, Rolls Silver Cloud, Mercedes. He said, what are you worried about? He said, well, I only get £9.15 a week. Two astronauts came out of this pub on the moon. Well sloshed they were. One said, that's the last time I go in there. He said, why? He said, there's no atmosphere.
I wish my dad had been here, because he'd have enjoyed your company. He's great, my dad, you know. He's on the docks, actually. He's in C Division. You know C Division.
See that. See these. See them.
He's great now. He used to be in the Navy. I remember him, on his last voyage, he thought, I'll bring me mother something home to remind her of the days at sea, you see. So he bought me gran this huge parrot, £250, and he brought it home, and me gran was a bit mutton Jeff, you know. He said, I've brought this parrot home here. It'll talk to you and keep you company in the rocking chair. The parrot'll talk. She said, eh? He said, you see this bird here? It'll talk to you. In 9 languages, the bird. She said, how? He left her with her. He went back the week after. He said, how's the parrot? She said, lovely. The flesh just fell away. But it's wrong, isn't it? It's wrong. I mean, and people, you know, today, they've got a funny outlook today. I mean, people in Liverpool, for instance, think that all comedians are going to get up and skip the dockers, you know. And this is wrong, because I don't know whether you've heard, but in Liverpool, things are slack on the docks now, and fellas are taking stuff back. And this is true, you know. I mean, there's a big American got off the boat with a big hat and a cigar, you know. Here's me cigar, the rest of me's coming. And he's walking up the road, and there's a big circle of dockers like that. And in the middle, on the floor, there's an old fella. The Yank said, what's wrong with him? They said, he wants to go to the toilet. He said, why doesn't he go? They said, in his dinner hour. But They don't, no. Look at the poor old soul went to the parish priest. He said, Father, I'm dying of neglect. I've got no gas, no coal, no food. What am I going to do? The priest said, you want to ask God to help you? He said, I will. So he wrote a letter to God. Dear God, I'm stuck for a few bob. If I had 100 quid, it'd look after me for the rest of my days. But he put it in an envelope. God, care of heaven, stamp. And the fellow in the GPO opened it up. He said, look at that, the poor old soul. So they had a collection for him. They got £95, sent it back. He was delighted. He wrote back, dear God, thank you for the miracle. I know I asked for £100 and only 95 came, but it's probably one of them robbing swines in the post office.
Father Murphy was going over to Rome to study for 8 years, and Bridget Flanagan went up to him. She said, Father, when you get over there, would you say a prayer in St. Peter's Basilica that I'll have a little family? He said, don't worry, when I get over there, I'll light a candle for you. 8 years later, he came back. Mrs. Flanagan went up. She said, Father, God love you. You're a saint. You'll be canonised. The two children, the kids, the twins, are upstairs. The other three wee fellas are at school, and the other two's in the nursery. He says, glory be to God. Where's your husband? She said, he's away over to Rome to blow out the candle.
One, isn't it? See about the four Irish fellas thinking of robbing the bank, so they're organising it. The four of them are down the wellies. Pat, the brains, he said, well. Now look, lad, now, Michael, now, you ready? What I want you to do, get the gun. And rush in and stop any of the customers, get them up against the wall, and if there's anything, shoot them.
He said, you will, da. I will.
Yeah. I will. He said, I'll be outside in the car because I've got the worst job. He said, right. He said, now, Sean, what I want you to do, he said, is to nip in after Pat and jump over the counter and get the tiller, the one with the money. And make a lie on the floor. Put your willy on the head and keep it there.
Will that? Yes.
I will. Now, Pat, now, you, what your job is now? What I want you to do, I'll be outside in the car. Because I got the worst job, the hardest job of the lot, in the car. She said, you nip in and open the safe, blow open the safe now and get the money out. Right. Now, we'll meet here now, synchronise your watches now. We'll meet here at 9 o'clock, right? Now, I'll be up in the car. Because I've got the worst job.
She said, now, hang on a minute. We're robbing the bank and you're sitting. Why come you've got the worst job?
He said, well, there's no tax on the car.
Four man shouts, Murphy, you're sacked. He said, I can't hear you. He said, you're sacked. I can't hear you. You're sacked. I can't hear you. He said, the hell, I'd sack someone else.
I knew one fella woke up 5 o'clock in the morning. Very superstitious as well. 5 o'clock in the morning, he went downstairs and his landlady gave him 5 boiled eggs for breakfast. 5 boiled eggs. And the milkman delivered 5 pints of milk. We thought, that's a coincidence. He got the morning paper, it was the 5th day, the 5th month, 1965. You thought, that's a coincidence. 5 boiled eggs, 5 o'clock in the morning. 5th day, the 5th month. He said, I'll have a bet. So he borrowed the fiver. He got the number 5 bus to the races. Pay fightings on the bus. He got off at the 5th stop. Paid 5 shillings to go into the races. He waited till the 5th race, put the 5 of the bottles on the 5th horse in the 5th race, and he came 5th.
If you ever come to Wales, don't panic, because a lot of people were worried because they were going to get a Russian spy coming to Wales. And it's quite true. He came out to Wales and he had to make contact with another spy by the name of Jones. And the password was, there'll be snow in Barry Island tonight. Well, this Russian spy got off the train in a little place called Aberconnan, walks up to a little Welsh station master and said, can you tell me where I can find someone by the name of Jones? The station master said, Jones? Now, let me see. We got Jones the butcher, Jones the baker, Jones the coal, Jones the milk. We got a singer by the name of Jones, which is not unusual. In fact, he said, my name is Jones. And the Russian said, there will be snow on Barry Island tonight. He said, oh, is Jones a spy you want?
Irishman, the Scotsman, and the Englishman caught by the cannibals. The cannibal chief said to the Scotsman, there's always an Irishman with an Englishman and a Scotsman. The Welsh can never get in there. He says to the Scotsman, where do you come from? He says, Glasgow. He said, stick him in the pot. He said to the second fellow, where do you come from? He said, I come from London. He said, stick him in the pot. He says to the Irishman, where do you come from? He says, Dublin. He said, let him go. So the cannibal says to the chief, why are you going to let? He's an Irish cannibal as well. He says, why are you going to let that fella go? He said, well, the last fellow I had from Dublin in the pot, he ate all the bloody potatoes.
Farmer had a big sow. He said, I'm going to sell it. His mate said, don't sell it. Bring it over to my place and we'll put it with the boar. He said, I've got a big boar and we'll stick them together and we'll make a few bob. He said, right. So he stuck the great big sow in the wheelbarrow and took it over to his mate's farm and he put it with the boar. He said, now, how do we know whether it's all right or not? He said, well, in the morning, when you look out the window, if the sow is rolling in the mud, it's okay. It's pregnant. But if it's eating the grass, you'll have to bring it back. This morning, he opened the window, there's the sow eating the grass, in the wheelbarrow, to his mate, to the boar. Not getting bored, are you? So he put it with the boar again. Next morning, he woke up, there it was, eating the grass again, so he had to put it back in the wheelbarrow, push it all the way up to his mate's place. Next morning, eating the grass. Off he went again, the wheelbarrow. This went on all week. Saturday morning, he's having a lay, and he said to his wife, Mary, for God's sake, look outside and see what the sow is doing, whether it's rolling in the mud or eating the grass. She said, it's sitting in the wheelbarrow.
This Irishman was in lodgings. So for the first morning, he went to work. In his lunch, there was two slices of bread and one lump of cheese. When he came back that night, the lady said, did you enjoy your lunch? He said, it was very nice, only there wasn't enough of it. The second week, it went on and on. Two slices, four slices. At the end of 3 weeks, he was getting 96 slices of bread and 48 lumps of cheese. So she said, did you enjoy your lunch? He said, it's all right, but there wasn't enough of it. So she decided to try out. She baked a loaf, 6 foot high, 4 foot wide and 11 foot deep. She cut it in two and put 100 weight and a half of cheese in. Wrapped it up in the newspaper, 4 editions. Put it in his bag and sent him to work when he came home that night. She said, did you like your lunch? He said, it was terrific, but I see you're back to the two slices.
And I saw this fella with a long face, and I'll talk to anybody, me, that'll talk back. And I said, what's up with you? And he said, I'm not going home to our house. I said, aren't you? He said, no. I said, why aren't you going back? He said, there's a terrible smell in our house. I said, is there? He said, aye, the wife keeps cats. I said, well, have you tried opening the window? He said, what, let all my pigeons out? And what about this horse that collapsed in Piccadilly? And this policeman was stood there with his notebook 10 minutes. And the sergeant said, well, what are you waiting for? He said, how do you spell Piccadilly? He said, P-I-K-O. Drag it into Tibb Street. Drag it into Tim Street. all a bellyache, won't we? Hey, and what about the this village idiot joined the army? Wasn't me, but I knew him. And he joined up, and he lost his rifle. And the CO said, "Where is it?" He said, "I've lost it." He said, "You'll have to pay for it now." He said, "I'm not paying for it, because it's not mine." He said, "You'll have to." He said, "Because anything you get issued within the army, if you lose it, you have to pay for it." He said, "Well, what would happen if I was driving a tank and I lost that?" He said, "You'd have to pay for it." He said, "It's no wonder these captains go down with the ships, is it?"
Kelly and Flanagan went into the circus, and there was all these table tennis balls on the jets of water. So he lifted up the rifle. He said, "Watch this." Six of them. All the balls went down. He said, "Fantastic, Kelly, fantastic. But watch this." And he lifted the rifle. Bang! One shot and the whole lot went down. He says, "How'd you do that?" He said, "I shot the fella pumping the water."
I got my first fan letter today. Do you get it? I got a letter from my mum as well. She writes to me now and again. I'll just read it to you. My granny sent me one once, you know, but this one's from my mum. It says, "Dear Ken," she's not Scotch, because they say that as well, don't they, "Dear Ken?" Do you get it? "Dear Ken." My mum says that as well. "Dear Ken, here are a few lines." Then she's written two straight lines underneath there. "Here are a few lines with the family news. You will be pleased to learn that your father now has a new job with 500 men under him. He is cutting the grass at the cemetery." Do you get it, eh? "And your brother John has joined the army. And he has only been in a fortnight, and they have made him a court martial already." "And he is going away for 6 months to give Her Majesty pleasure." There's so much. And it goes on to say here, "Your father now has started keeping pigs in the backyard, and there is an awful smell from your loving mother." She's as daft as me, she is.
"I never had a mother and father." It's true. I think you better have this, haven't you? See, I was an incubator baby. In fact, every Mother's Day, I sent flowers to an oil store in Huddersfield. And then I was adopted. But they were poor. Oh, I came from a poor family. We're so poor, my brother were made in Hong Kong. You don't know what it's like to be poor, do you? Couldn't even afford laxatives. My dad used to sit us on the potty and tell us ghost stories. Hang on. It's bloody good character acting, isn't it, eh? And I remember at Christmas, when you all have your turkeys, we couldn't afford a turkey. My dad used to go out and buy the budgie chest expanders. Then a fellow used to come down our street with horse and cart, shouting, "Swill! Swill!" And my mother used to run out and say, "Two buckets, please."
We get worse, don't we? You're enjoying yourself tonight, Pet, aren't you? Where you from, chicken? Where you from, darling?
Stockport.
It's a scruffy place, Dennis. Cheshire. Oh, bit of class here at Cheshire. A load of rubbish, that is, in Cheshire. Used to be a story used to go around, and I always remember I had a different way, but the way I tell it was about the train going through a tunnel. And in this train compartment was an old lady, a young girl, a United supporter and a City supporter. And as they're going through the tunnel, they smack. And as they come out the tunnel, there was the City supporter with a black eye and a bloody nose. And the old girl thought to herself, "Isn't that young girl brave? Letting a City supporter kiss her, and she smacking him in the mouth." And the young girl thought, "That's strange. The City supporter kissing the old woman instead of kissing me." And the City supporter thought, "That United supporter's a lucky lad. He kisses the girl, and she thumps me." And the United supporter said, "Aren't I a clever little lad? I kissed the back of my hand, slaps a City supporter in the gob, and nobody says a bloody word."
An American tourist on the bus passing Manchester Town Hall. He said, "Say, buddy," little Lancashire lad at the side, "what's that there?" He said, "That. That's our town hall," he said. "It's our clock." He said, "We've got prefabs bigger than that in America." He said, "Oh, aye." Just then, a fire engine went past. 90 mile an hour, turntable ladders, all bells ringing. He said, "What was that, buddy?" He said, "A window cleaner late for work."
There's a beautiful little village in Ireland called Sion Mills, and there's a plaque outside the house, and it said, "Erected to the memory of Willie Flanagan, the bravest man in Sion Mills." It happened when they opened a new hall and it went on fire, and Willie was sitting in the front row. And instead of rushing to save himself, he dashed up to the bandstand, picked up a violin, and started to play. He was a gifted virtuoso. So much so that the audience drifted back to their seats, and he played enchanting, beautiful violin music. And Willie, by his prompt action, was responsible for over 1,600 people been burned to death.
No. No, the world's going mad today, though, isn't it? I blame the women. I mean, obviously, you know, there's a lot of fellas in the audience this evening with their wives or intendeds, but, I mean, you know what it's like when you're going out on your own or with the lads, and she starts. "Oh, yes, you go. Don't take me, no. I'm just a drudge. You never take me anyway." I give it a shake at 6:30 one morning. I said, "Hey, you coming to work?" No. She's horrible. She takes after her father. Her father is a horrible man. He's in bad company when he's on his own. And mean, you've never met a meaner man in your life. You should have seen our wedding. We got 14 electric toasters for wedding presents. Her father gave us a sliced loaf. I'll tell you how mean he is. He used to be a mountain climber. He was trapped once climbing the Matterhorn, frozen stiff to a ledge for 2 days and nights, hanging by his fingertips for grim death. And they got a rescue helicopter 100 foot below, and a fella got out and shouted up, "Here, Scouse Red Cross!" He said, "Clear off, I'll give you tuppence last year."
The policeman walking through the car park, and he comes up to this little mini, and he says to the girl, "What are you doing in there?" She says, "We're doing the slow foxtrot." He came up to the next car. He said, "What are you two doing in there?" She says, "We're doing the cha-cha-cha."
Then he came up to a big Rolls Royce, one of these dolly birds put a head at a blonde. He said, I suppose you're doing the bossa nova. She said, no, sir, I'm doing the boss a favour.
No, but obviously, you know, people sort of here anyway can recognise, you know, a Liverpool person by his accent. But, I mean, there are various ways of recognising Liverpool men when they go away. I mean, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but when a Liverpool fella comes to sort of Manchester, Preston, Blackpool, Chester, when he's in that region, he's easy to spot, you see, because he's always between two bobbies. And he's like that. All right. All right. But when we leave Liverpool completely, I mean, if we go to London, I mean, like my granddad went to London. He went to watch Liverpool, you know, playing in the cup final. I remember him, you know, and they got on the train, went to the station, him and the lads, you know, 16 returns, Jimmy. The fella said, where to? He said, back here, you clown. They're going along in the train. His mate said, find out where we are. So he opened the window and shouted, porter, where are we? The porter said, Leatherhead. He said, same to you, pig face. Put up the window.
Irishman and a monkey went up to the moon in a spaceship. They both got separate instructions written on separate envelopes, and the spaceship stopped on the moon. So the monkey opened his envelope. He said, press button 708, then press button 406. Decompressurize space cabin and traverse moon surface setting up laser beams in conjunction with the sun. Ensure retroactivity of spacecraft's rockets return to Earth. And the Irishman opened his letter. He said, feed the monkey. That's a crack of that one. The phone rang in the middle of the night and he lifted the phone. He said, I'm sorry, you've got the wrong number. It's the meteorological office you want. And she says, who was that? He said, some fellow wanting to know if the coast was clear.
I love the old people, especially in Wales. They've got nothing else to do except stand at the corner of the street and gossip. One day, one old girl said, Mary, what do you think it is your hydrogen bomb, then? They tell me that when this aeroplane comes along and drops it on top of us, it'll blow us all into maternity. And she said, aye, and you don't know who done it, either. They find anything to gossip about, you know, they talk about anything. One day one old girl said, Mary, what do you think of young Bloodwyn Evans? She's getting married on Saturday and she's only 16. Never. Was she pregnant? Oh. No. She said, oh, that's posh for you. And the old people of Wales, you know, they're very, very hearty people. They're fanatics for fitness. We got one old girl, she's 99. She likes to ride a push bike. One day she was pedaling this bike up a steep hill, just like that. And a fella jack at a car stopped. He said, don't pedal, I'll give you a tow. He's torn up the hill. Another chap in a Rolls Royce flashes past and gives him a rude sign. So the fella in the jack forgot about the old girl in the back and took off after him. A copper rang into the station. He said, hey, Sarge, I've just seen a funny sight. A Rolls Royce to 100 mile an hour, a jag to 105, and Bloodwyn Evans on a pushbike pedaling like hell, ringing a bell, trying to pass the pair of them. And as they get older, they get independent. There's an old couple living next door to me. He's 97 and the old girl is 95. Last Sunday, she went down in the garden to cut her cabbage for dinner and she fainted flat out. There was the old fella struggling to pick her up. I said, can you manage, Mr. Jones? He said, aye, I'll open a tin of peas. God bless you.
Staggered out of the pub, and he tried his key in a car door, wouldn't fit. Tried another door, tried half a dozen doors, no chance. So he sat down on a seat and he waited, and the pub emptied. They all came out and all the cars went. And he went across, and there's this one car, and he put his key in, lovely, and the bobby came. He said, I've been watching you. He said, you've been watching you. Blow into this bag. And it was clear. He said, how is that? It's clear. He said, what you've been drinking? He said, coffee.
He said, what's the idea of drinking coffee and staggering out? He said, well, I'm the decoy. All my mates have gone home.
Scott's fella stood watching Rangers and Celtic. There's a fella stood, he says, to hell with Rangers. Aye. Okay. The bloke said, pardon?
To hell with Rangers. Hey. Okay.
The bloke said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm American. I'm from Texas. He said, well, to hell with Texas Rangers.
I thought my trousers would never dry. Hey, do you know, this is true now, there were a football match between rabbis and fathers. This is right. It was a big game. And when it were all over, Pope rang up. Then he said to father, he says, are you going on up through? He says, we've lost 34-0. He says, you never have. He said, we have 34-0, right drubbing. He said, arrange another match. He said, it's no tale. We're having the more of that, old lad. He said, arrange another. Fix you up with a good one. He said, we'll have a race match then. Who we got? He said, Father Eusebio. I said, fair enough, old love. We'll skate to him. Very nice. After the match, he phoned them up. He said, how we going on? He said, we lost 2-1. He said, you never did. He said, we did. We lost 2-1. He said, who's going for us? He said, Father Eusebio. He said, well, who's going for them? He said, Rabbi Charlton and Rabbi Best.
English teacher went over in Ireland teaching. He says to this little lad, Tony Flanagan, he says, who pulled down the walls of Jericho? He said, it wasn't me. So he went to the headmaster. He said, what a school this. He said, I've taught all over the world. He said, I've just asked a little boy there called Tony Flanagan, who pulled down the walls of Jericho? And he said, it wasn't him. The headmaster says, well, I've known the Flanagan family for about 25 years. And if young Tony Flanagan says he didn't do it, then I believe it. This young fella says to his brother, he says, Bruce, he said, I'm going to Blackpool for the week. Would you mind me cat? He said, certainly, certainly. He phoned from Blackpool after about 3 days. He says, Bruce, that you, sweet? He said, yes, he said, how's my cat? He said, it's dead. Oh, he said, yeah, I've given me a shock now. He said, I feel all, oh, he said, I've gone all queer. He said, it's terrible, this. What a shock you've given me, he says. Couldn't you broke it more gentle than that? He said, couldn't you said it was playing with a ball on the roof and it fell off and you got the vet and you injected it and you nursed it for 3 or 4 nights and it died in its sleep? He said, I never thought. He said, well, you give me a terrible shock. How's my mother? He said, well, she was playing with a ball on the roof.
Fella got a job in the cemetery. At the end of the week, he said to the boss, I want me card, sir. I couldn't work here. £14 a week, sir, to keep myself and 27 children. He said, oh, I couldn't do it. He says, did you not get any tips, money? He said, no. Oh, I said, I'll show you how to do the job. And a very large funeral committee said, may I say, sir, that's the nicest funeral has ever been in this cemetery. He said, thank you, sir. He said, I'll also say it's the nicest set of mourners I've ever seen in this cemetery. He said, thank you, sir. He said, would you take a tip? He said, I would. He said, would you take a drink? He said, yes. There's a fiver. He said, thank you, sir. So he goes back to the fellow. He says, that's how you do it. He says, right. Another large funeral committee says, may I say, sir, that's the greatest group of well-dressed mourners I've ever seen in my life. He says, thank you. I'd also say, sir, it's the nicest funeral has ever come in to this cemetery. He said, thank you. He says, would you take a tip? He said, I would. He said, would you take a drink? He said, yes. He said, well, take my tip, lay off the drink. That's what happened to me today.
we came out the match. I said to this friend, now where's it all happening? I said, where's all the nightlife? He said, hey, smashing ale house. A smashing boozer. He said, you get all your ale, you get your eats, and you... stay the night, and... won't cost you nothing. I said, have you been in it? He said, no, but the wife has. I said, where is it? He said, Putney Bridge. I said, Putney Bridge, where's that? He said, well, find out. So he walked up to this cockney and went, all right, la. Putney Bridge, la. Where's Putney Bridge? And this cockney went, don't know, mate. And off he went. He come back to me, he said, doesn't know where he is, him. He's a cockney, but he doesn't know where he is. I said, it's the way you went about it. They can't understand us up here. They can hardly understand us in Liverpool. I said, up here, you've got to talk like a cockney or you're not on. I said, I'll show you. So I walked up to this cockney and went, all right, me old cocker. All right, mate. Patney Bridge, mate. Where's Patney Bridge? And this cockney went, Patney Bridge. Patney Bridge. A bloody cockney, you don't know where Patney Bridge is. Only happened in Liverpool. Only happens with the Liverpool fellas. There was Liverpool playing this German team called Bayern Munich. There's a little scouser in the cop. And he's going, come on, Toshak, lad. Come on, Toshak. Come on, Smitty. Cripple him. Cripple him, Smitty. And this dirty big German went, Herr Müller. Hello, Beckenbauer. And this little fella went, hello, Bo. He said, and that's for bombing our shelters. But the Liverpool people, you see, we can't understand sophisticated jokes. We can't get them. We like daft ones, ones that we know. Ones we can get. Like the Liverpool fella, he went into a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist said, what is it? And he went... it's our kid. He thinks he's an orange. And the psychiatrist said, well, get him down here. He said, I've got a mate in my pocket. And the other Liverpool fella went into a cobbler's. He went into a cobbler's with a pair of boots. He said, I want these sold. Came back the next day, the cobbler gave him a dollar. He said, I've sold them. And there was another Liverpool fella. These jokes are full of Liverpool fellas, eh? He went into a photographer's. I got that out. Went into a photographer's with a photograph of his dad. He said, I want this photograph of my dad reproducing. But I want you to do him without the bowler hat. So his dad had a bowler hat on. And the photographer, being very obliging, he went, yes, sir, certainly, sir, yes, sir. I think you can manage that, sir. And just as he was going out, he said, oh, by the way, sir, what way did your father have his hair parted? He said, well, you know that when you take the bowler hat off.
There was one old chap, he must have been 107, he was in the doctor's one day. He said, doctor, doctor, I want you to give me a medical examination. He said, what for? He said, I want to marry a young girl of 16.
He said, at your age, it could prove fatal. Well, if she dies, she dies. He got married to the young girl of 16. 3 weeks later, he was lying on his deathbed, dying of a rare disease called ecstasy. He called his young wife over. He said, Mary, oh, you've been a good and girl, Lisa. Before I go, I want you to have 1,000. Give the eldest boy 1,000 and give the youngest boy 1,000. She said, I never knew you had any money. He said, I'm talking about the embassy coupon. As he was dying, there was his three lazy layabout sons discussing the cost of the funeral in front of him. They said, don't spend a lot of money on the old fellow when he goes. Save a few bob for the horses and a boozer. 2 cars in the hearse, that'll be plenty. Second said, what are you talking about? 45 of us can get in 1 car. Third one said, get a few of the boys from the pit to carry the coffin like they used to do in the old days. The old fella got out of bed. He said, pass me my trousers, I'll walk. He eventually died. And you know, we got a lovely old superstition in the valleys. When they die, we lay them out in a coffin and we get 2 half-crowns. Place 1 half-crown on each eye to keep them shut. We did this and the youngest boy said, well, last look at the old man. Walks in, sees the 2 half-crowns on his eyes, takes them off and puts 2 pennies there. When he come out, the vicar said, you see any change in him? He said, aye, 4 and 10. And where I live, we don't bury him like you do in Manchester. Don't dig these big holes and fill him in afterwards. Where I live, they take him to the top of the mountain. There was a hearse going up the mountain and the back doors fell open. The coffin slid out down the mountain into the main street, into a chemist shop. Hit the counter, the corpse come out and he said, have you got anything to stop this coffin?
Have you ever noticed how people around here, I mean, you know, generally, and without being immodest, I'll speak for everyone, then I'll take the blame. Have you ever noticed how we seem to get our priorities right here? We always seem to know what we want. Have you noticed that? Like the fella crying in the pub. His mate went in, he said, what's wrong with you?
He said, I've had a terrible day. I come off nice this morning, and I got home, and my house was burnt down. And the wife's run away with me best mate. And the 2 kids have pinched me car and gone to sea. And Liverpool lost. I can't understand that they were winning at half-time.
And the fellow went to his mate's house and knocked on the door. The wife opened it. He said, could I speak to Harry, please? She said, Harry? Oh, God, Harry. Harry. He said, I just want to have a bit of a rabbit with Harry, you know. She said, Harry, Harry. He said, has something happened to Harry then? Because he's quick, you know. The woman said, he's just passed away. He said, I'm sorry about that. Were you with him when he went? She said, yes. He said, did he mention me paintbrush by any chance? It's the way we seem to behave now. Have you ever noticed how plausible we've become? I mean, we seem to be able to talk our way out of any situation. Like the coach trip going down to London, and they stopped in the New Forest, you know, boot open, crates out, get these down, you lads, look at that. And they're all having a sup, and there's an old fella on the coach with an air rifle. And in the distance, he saw a huge deer and shot it right through the head, killed it stone dead. And he's got it on his back, a 400-weight deer, running across the New Forest. Oh, look at this! And the gamekeeper's out with a rifle. He said, you, stop! He said, what? He said, you're poaching. He said, I'm not. He said, well, what's that on your back? And he meant, ooh!
Dr. Watson said to Sherlock Holmes, you'll never guess what happened to me today, Sherlock. He said, I know exactly what happened to you, he said. He got up this morning, had cornflakes and coffee, went down, seen a film at the Odeon, went in a club in Soho, had your tea in town, came home, read a book, went straight to bed. He said, marvellous, how do you know that, Sherlock? He said, I was with you, Burke.
Fellow into his shop, he said, packet of cigarettes. Girl said, yes, sir, plain or filter? He said, filter. She said, cork or menthol? He said, cork. She said, king size or ordinary? He said, ordinary. She said, Virginia or Turkish blend? He said, Virginia. She said, flip top or crush proof pack? He said, forget it, I've chucked it up. went to the dentist. The dentist said, that's a big cavity, a big cavity. He said, don't repeat yourself. I didn't, it was an echo. Little kid said, Mummy, Mummy, how do buffaloes make love? She said, I don't know, son, your father's a mason.
Well, I went to the doctor, he had a touch of laryngitis. That's when you can't speak. One fellow went in the restaurant, milk bar. He said, what milkshakes have you got? The girl said, raspberry and vanilla. He said, have you got laryngitis? Only raspberry. The Jack and Ori joke. No, this fella had laryngitis, knocked on the doctor's door. The nurse came out. He said, excuse me, is the doctor in? She said, no. Come in. Rude, aren't we rude? Tell some more Jack and Nori jokes. Fellow was playing cricket, he's getting stripped off, and he had a roll on. He said, how long have you been wearing a roll on? He said, ever since the wife found it in the back of the car.
You know what they're like in Liverpool for football? Fanatics. So this Everton supporter's walking up Scotland Road and he takes this dreadful pain in the stomach and he dashes into the doctor's and there's two doors. I said, male patients, female patients. So he walks into the one marked, male patients, and there's two more doors. And I said, panel patients, ped patients. Well, he's not on the panel, so he's under the one marked, ped patients, and there's two more doors. Everton supporters, Liverpool supporters. And he walks into the one marked, Everton supporters, and found himself out in the Scottish Road again. It's the way I tell them, isn't it?
I mean, let's face it, today the world's going mad, isn't it? And I think one of the worst experiences anyone can undergo for the first time, or, you know, first sort of sensible time in their life, is the dentist. Have you been recently to the dentist? You know the place, don't you? You go in, you sit in the waiting room, the coat hanger's full of coats, and there's nobody else there. And from the back room comes, ah! And a fellow with blood all over his wellies runs out and says, next. And he's laughing, he's got a full set, you know. And he takes you in, and he puts you in the chair, and he fills your mouth up with cotton wool and iron. And you're like that. And as soon as your mouth is chock-a-block, he starts asking you questions. Does it always hurt you? Then he puts the mask over your face and you're off.
99, 98, 97.
And you're away. You and Bridget Bardot running through the cornfield like an action replay. And she's got a shift on. So have you. And you catch up to her. Oh! And throw her into the waving corn. Lobo. And fall beside her. And she looks up and says, spit in the bowl, love.
The Pope, he was in the news, of course, the Pope. Somebody tried to stab him, which is a terrible thing. Of course, you see, the present Pope, he was very lucky to get the job. Shouldn't really have gone to him. It should have gone to a Spanish fella called Cicola. Only it didn't sound right, Pope Cicola.
Irish fella on this building site, his foreman got hold of him. He said, come here, Paddy. He said, I want you to measure the flagpole. He said, right. Got hold of three fellas, erected the flagpole right up in the air and went up and measured it. He comes back and said, I've measured the flagpole, sir. It's 85 feet. The foreman said, you're stupid, nit. Fancy erecting it up in the air. Why didn't you measure it along the floor? I thought you wanted the height, not the length. Hear about the 100 Irish carpenters? One held the screw, one held the screwdriver, 98 turned the wall. Two Irish tramps, one was dragging a lump of lead piping. His mate said, what are you drumming, dragging that lump of lead piping for, Paddy? He said, I'm going to use it for a pillar. It'll be too hard, he says. He said, I'm going to stuff it with straw first. Irish fella up before the judge. The judge said, I'm putting you away for 2 weeks. He said, yes, Your Honour. Give the last week in July and the first week in August.
Yeah, they have a lot of trouble and strife down in Wales. There's not a lot of work left down there. I mean, my friend Di hasn't worked for about 14 years now. He managed to get a job the other day. His wife said, Di, after 14 years, you've got a job. At last, you're going to start work. What would you like for breakfast? He said, give me hot pie and call me when it's cold. She said, you've got a job in the pits. Di, you got your boots on the wrong feet. He said, I know, they should be on yours. He said, darling, I can't go to work. He said, look, it's foggy. She said, I can see you over the rooftops. He said, I'm not going that way. He eventually started working in the coal mines. He was the only miner in South Wales, swole the record over 100 yards in his pit boots. He fell down a shaft. We were on top of the pit and we shouts down the hole, Die! Are you all right? A little voice came back, yes! Half a minute, we'll throw a rope ladder down. Climb up. I can't. I broke my two legs. Oh, hell. Pull yourself up. I can't. I broke my two arms. Have you got false teeth? No. Bite the bottom rung and we'll pull you up. He's 2 feet from the top. One of the lads said, are you all right, Di? I said, yeah.
But even the kids in Liverpool are funny. The kids. That's where the humour stems from, children and old folk. My little fella, he came in the other day, he said, hey, Dad. I said, what is it, lad? He said, that teacher. I'm sure she fancies me. I said, the teacher fancies you? How do you make that out? He said, well, she keeps putting kisses next to me sums. And there was a fella down our way the other week, he turned out to his lad, he said, lad, there's a knock at the door, go and see who it is. So his lad went to the door and he come back, he said, Dad, there's a man at the door with a baldy head. He said, go and tell him I've got one. And my little fella came in the other day again, he said, hey, Dad, that teacher murdered me. I said, the teacher murdered you, what for, son? He said, but having spelling. She turned around and said, can anyone spell Thistledown? And I went, Thistledown. She said, very good, now what does it mean? And he said, it means raining very heavy, miss.
My wife, she comes from Manchester. You know, my first wife. I call her my first wife. It keeps her on her toes. We met here. We met in Manchester. We met at this dance. I walked in, I saw her sitting there. And you can always tell when you look at a girl what type they are. I could see this girl was used to being picked up because she had handles on her hips. So I walked over. I said, hello. She said, hello. I said, you look pretty groovy. And she said, yes, I wear corduroy knickers. I said, can I take you for a meal? Now, I don't usually take girls for meals because I've had a lot of terrible things happen to me taking girls for meals. I remember once, I was going out with this other girl, also from Manchester, and she wasn't very pretty. You know, she had these eyebrows that meet in the middle of her back. And this one long tooth, about that long, one long tooth right in the middle. And I took her to an Italian restaurant, and she ordered spaghetti. Wasn't a pretty sight. The spaghetti arrived, she stuck the tooth in the middle and spun the plate round. So I'll tell you about this girl that we met at the dance. I take her in the restaurant and I sit her down. And it's like I say, you can always tell when you're with a girl that's got a lot of class. Because the waiter came over, he said, good evening. Would a madam like asparagus tips? And she said, have you got any Embassy or Rothmans? I said, don't show me up. Look, there's the menu. order a meal. So she picked up the menu. She said, I think I'll have the soup. Yes, I'll have some minestrone. Then I'll have a horse's duva. Then a nice plate of scampi with some tartar sauce. And for the main course, I'll have a fillet steak with two fried eggs, some mashed potatoes, some baked potatoes, a few chips, some carrots, some French peas, some cauliflower, some peas, some Yorkshire pudding and gravy. Then I'll have half a dozen pancakes with some syrup, and then some ice cream with hot chocolate sauce. Can you suggest something to wash it down? I said, how about Lake Windermere?
The Pony Express. Riding with the mail through Apache territory to Fort Apache. He's riding there. He's got a lance right through his neck. Ow! 6 arrows in his back. Ow! They shot the horse from under him. Shot in the leg and he hobbles to the fort. They kicked open the colonel's door and he said, there's no mail today. Fellow picked the phone up. He says, hello, is that the asylum? And a voice at the other end said, no, it can't be. We're not on the phone. Fellow walked into a psychiatrist. He says, I can't stop telling lies. He says, I don't believe you.
The fellow walked into the barber's shop. He said, a many's in front of me. The fellow says, 9. He said, it'll come back in the morning. Come back the next morning. He said, a many's in front of me. The barber said, 6. He said, it'll come back in the morning. He went in again. He said, the next one, many's in front of me. He said, 7. He said, it'll come back in the morning. The barber said to the wee apprentice barber, go and see where that fellow goes. So the wee fellow went out and came back an hour later. He said, where did he go? He said, your house.
It's true about him having 26 children. You know, you read in the paper not long back about this woman in Australia giving birth to 9 children. Well, Di's wife got the record. She gave birth to 10. And he was so excited. He was in a pub and he was drinking double gin and tonics all night. And he phones a matron up and he says, any news? She said, yes, you've got twins, but there's a lot more to come. He had 5 double gin and tonics. He's back on the phone. He says, hey, any more news? She said, yes, you've got quads, but phone back a little later on. Another 5 double gin and tonics. He says, hey, any more news? She said, yes, you got 6, but this must be a record. A bottle of gin later, he was so drunk, he phoned the Glamorgan cricket ground by mistake. He said, what's the score now? And he said, they're all out and the last one's a duck.
So this long distance lorry driver walked in his cafe on the M1. He said, I want a sausage, but burn the outside and undercook the inside. The steak, burn it to a frazzle so I can't eat it. Some cold beans and the egg, cook the white, leave the yolk. He said, I can't do that. He said, why not? You did it yesterday.
A fellow went to the doctors. He said, hey, doctor, he said, I feel like a bell. Doctor said, you feel like a bell? He said, take these tablets. If you don't feel any better in the morning, give us a ring.
Thanks, George. Very nice, that. Size of him is in dressing room 17, 18 and 19. They're fat. Tell them that they're fat like that, isn't it? Shocking. His wife's the same. She went to the sauna bath and lost 4 stone in one morning. One of the machines ripped her leg off.
We're rude tonight, aren't we? Little boy says to his dad at dinner time, hey, Dad, can he eat caterpillars? Yes. Don't be so rude at dinner time, talking about things like that. Behave yourself. After dinner, he said, what's this about caterpillars? Little lad said, oh, it's all right, Dad. There was one on your lettuce, but it's gone now.
Have you had your holidays yet? My friend Di just come back from his holidays. He went to Blackpool. First person he met when he was walking down Blackpool was George Roper in his wellies. And he said, where's the best boozer in Blackpool? And George said, you're looking at him.
He's walking down the promenade and a big tall fella, 6'8", tapped him on the shoulder. He said, can I walk along the front with you? He said, certainly, by all means. He hadn't gone 10 yards. He tapped me on the shoulder. He said, dude, you see that blonde in the bikini, papa there? He said, don't get excited. I saw the blonde in the bikini pass by there. 5 yards further on, he tapped him on the shoulder. He said, dude, you see the brunette in the tight sweater? Papa, pass by there. He said, don't get excited. I saw the brunette in the tight sweater pass by there. 5 yards further on, he tapped him on the shoulder. He said, did you see? He said, look, don't bother, I seen it. He said, well, what do you want to step in it for then?
Amy Goldberg's telling his mate, he says, Morris, are you coming to Spain with the boys? We're going over to Spain. Nice holiday, he says. You love it over there. Nice sunshine, lovely weather, nice food. Get Creplet, Lockshin, all the lot. He says, no, you're going by plane. He says, I wouldn't fly. I'm very unlucky, he says. Them planes, he says, they're always crashing. Every time you open a newspaper, a plane crashed. Not me, he says, I go by boat. I'll see you there. So he went by boat. And the boat sank. Plane hit it. Fellow went to see about his mate's funeral. He said, I've come to order a funeral. He says, how much? He says, well, we have £1,000 job. He says, that's 14 horses pulling a gold coach with gold handles on the coffin. Oak wood, leaded lined, 1,000 people, 1,000 mourners, weeping and wailing behind the... Oh, he said, it's a bit too much, that, he said. £1,000, he said. He said, well, we have a £500 job, he said. 7 horses, pulling a silver coach with silver handles and a pine box coffin. And 100 mourners, weeping and wailing at the back. He said, it's still a bit too much, that, he said. He said, how much have you got? He says, 15 quid. He said, well, we can accommodate you people. He says, oh, yes. We have a pit pony dragging hand cart, he said. And we put the body in a sack. And we have a one-man band coming up behind, you know. Top hat on, blue shirt, yellow trousers, green shoes. Is there any weeping and wailing? He said, oh, no, we all have a bloody good laugh.
A new inmate arrived at the asylum, walked into the governor's office. The governor said, what's your name? He said, Lord Nelson. He said, oh, do me a favour. He said, what's your name? He said, Lord Nelson. He said, look, Lord Nelson is already here. What is your name? The fellow said, that man you have here is an imposter. I am Lord Nelson. So the governor said to his second in command, he said, look, put this fellow in with Lord Nelson for a week and let them sort it out among themselves. So a week later, he sent for this chap and he walked in his office and he said, well, are you still Lord Nelson? He said, no, I'm Lady Hamilton.
Oh, scary.
There's two fellas in the jungle. And they come to a swamp. One fella said, I'm going in for a swim. He said, you can't swim now. He said, it's infested with crocodiles. He said, I'll swim. So he stripped off and he dived in. And he swam around. The crocodile came out and went, whoa. She's a dunk. Went, oi, oi, oi. Another one goes, where? He goes, shh, you don't go, where? And he got out and he was drying himself. He said, that was ridiculous. He said, that was ridiculous. He said, how did you get away with it? He said, it's easy, look at that. And on his arm was tattooed, Manchester City for the cup. He said, what bloody crocodile's going to swallow that?
Do you know, I was in a pet shop last week. Funny things happen in pet shops. I don't know why. A fellow walked in behind me and he walks up to the counter and he said to the fellow behind the counter in the pet shop, he said, have you got any parrots?
So the... the fellow behind the counter, he was perfectly all right. He said... the fellow behind the counter said, well, what? So the other fellow said, he said, have you got any parrots? The other fellow thought he was taking a mix, so he said, I said, yes, we have. Dead quick. So the customer said, well, how much? Each. He said, I love you. So the other fellow said, well, how much is the difference? Can the parrot talk? And the parrot looked down and said, Ruddy, it's not better than you two.
Sends the down across, you see. So he goes and he says, me mum said, can she have a can of beans? She wants a can of beans. Me mum. He said, for your mother, anything. For your father, nothing. So as he goes, half an hour later, comes back, he said, lost a tin opener. Me mum's lost a tin opener. Well, you'll open the beans. He said, for your mother, anything. For your father, nothing. So he opened the beans and he handed them back. He said, my dad said, can he have 5 woodbines or we don't want the beans? I'll tell you what. I came up from Jersey 2 or 3 days ago. Marvellous, nice place. And you get to Heathrow Airport. Beautiful place. You get some lovely laughs in the departure lounge at Heathrow Airport. You get sounds, they go like this, they say,
Alitalia announced the departure of their flight to Athens.
Just like him, isn't it? I could pick my nose up here, you wouldn't know.
Alitalia announced to Athens. Calling at Gibraltar, Malta, Wigger.
You don't do that. And then they say,
the plane for New York will leave at 17:50 hours. And the plane for Bermuda at 15:22 hours.
And just said there's two little Irish guys. One says, Patrick, what time do you think we're going to land in Dublin? And the voice said,
Aer Lingus announced the departure of their flight to Dublin, which will leave when the big hand is at 7.
Hey, and I was in court the other day as well, you know, and the judge said, what happened? I said, I was cleaning this lady's bedroom windows, and he said, go on. And I said, this lady came in the bedroom with a pair of thingies on, so he said, go on. And I said, and I said, this fella coming with his watchets on, so he said, go on. And I said they were dashing around the bedroom that fast, I couldn't tell what was going on. And he said, are you going to tell us what happened? I said, I don't know. He said, why don't you know? I said, my ladder broke. He said, your ladder broke, how did that happen? I said, well, there were 17 of us on it. The judge was dead, man. He said to this fella, I'm sending you down for 15 years. He said, I can't do that. He said, do what you can then. Don't they get upset?
I'm on in court and waiting my turn. There were three cross-eyed fellas in front of me. Three cross-eyed fellas in front of a cross-eyed judge. And a cross-eyed judge looks at the first cross-eyed fella. He said, what's your name? Second fella says, Smith. He said, I wasn't talking to you. And the third one said, I never said a word.
Stood there, and this fellow walks up to the bartender, you see. He said, name, please. And the bartender said, sir. He looked and said, hey, come here, Marty fan. You don't know the thing I'm making out of me, eh? The bartender said, no, he said, I speak like that. Said, no. Just then another fellow walked in and said, I'll have a large scotch with dry ginger, please. And the bartender said, of course you can, sir. He said, hey! Come here! Come here! I thought you said you weren't thinking of making out of me. The bartender said, I'm not thinking of making out of him, mama, there.
I went to the doctor, he said, give me some strychnine or arsenic. He said, anything. He said, I want to see the wife. I said, I'm sick of it. Couldn't stand another day with her. He said, no, you've no need to do it that way, Charlie. Make love to her any time you can. Morning, noon and night. Make love. She'll be dead in 9 months. He said, are you sure? He said, I'm telling you. Any time you can, make mad, passionate love. Every minute of the day if you can. He said, I'll try it. 3 months later, he's going through the park. He sees this fella in a wheelchair, all drawn and haggard. He says, how you going on, Charlie? He says, oh. I'm not so bad. He says, how's the wife? He says, she's over there playing tennis. She looks fit, Charlie. Says, aye, says. She doesn't know she's only 6 months to live.
Oh, dear. Sit down, Art Road. Hey, no, hold on. Hold on. This bloke walked in this boozy, you know. So he orders a pint and he's just going to sit down. And there's a bloke sat at the table with a dog on his knee. So he says, hey up. He says, what's up, flower? He says, put dog up, flower. He said, it's an old tale. He says, get it down, old lad. That's where they belong, dogs. He said, I can't. It's a Dutch hund. He said, I can see it's a Dutch hund. He said, put it. He says, no, it's got little legs. He says, they've all got little legs. He says, but these are littler than others. He says, so what? He says, well, sit there. It's just that pup, see? And with it being... And I put it down, it scrapes its... He says, giz odd at flaming dog. And he got on a dog and he put thimbles on him. It did it. Have you heard it? No, you will do when it comes down your street. Well, I don't know. Oh, laugh. I never thought my trousers were dry.
Lancashire lad wins £250,000 on the pools, buys a big farm. In America, just outside Texas. Sheep, horses, cows, ducks, the lot. And he's only there about a fortnight, he finds out he's got no cock for his ends. So he walked 60 miles to his next door neighbour, flat cap, white raincoat, galoshes, woodbine. Knocks on his next door neighbour's door. I'll speak a bit of American for you now. What do you want, buddy? Now, I've never been there. You wouldn't believe that, would you? He said, have you got a cock for me, Hens? He said, man, I got a cock. You ain't never seen a cock like this, boy. He's a goer. Friend, this cock will cost you $1,000 and you ain't never seen a cock like this, boy. He says, it's a lot of money. He said, it's a lot of cock, man. He said, well, I'll have to have it. He said, I'm not walking any further, he says. There's your $1,000. Text this cock back and what a cock it was. A belter. The hens are laying 18 eggs a day apiece. The sheep's laying eggs, the bull's laying eggs. All the cows are laying eggs. The farm's full of eggs. And one day this cock's missing, about a week later. He thought, now, where's that cock gone, all that money? There's two little footprints out in the middle of the desert. He follows these footprints and there's the cock in the middle of the desert on its back, shattered. And 16 vultures flying overhead. He said, well, I lived in Lancashire all my life, he said. But I got it. He said, I've never seen nothing like you, he said. Ridiculous the way you've gone on this last few weeks. Them vultures there, they're only waiting for you to close your eyes. They'll be down, they'll pick your bones clean. And the cock opened one eye like that. He said, let them settle. The way I tell him.
No, we've had trouble with the parish priest, you know, because he's been a very unfortunate man, actually. You know, he was coming home from sick visit one night and he was carrying his prayer book and he dropped it in the mud. He thought, my God, I can't carry it home like this, it'll dirty me cassock. So he hit on a blinding idea. He got his hanky out of his pocket like that and he folded the four corners up into a sachet, or sachet if you're from Stretford. Lovely place, Stretford, isn't it? Aren't they posh? We came through tonight, I said to this kid, where are you going, son? He said, I'm going shopping for Mammy. I said, what are you going for? He said, pepper. I said, black pepper or white pepper? He said, no, writing pepper. But the priest carrying the prayer book in the sachet like that, and he passed a manhole, and down below there was a fella swinging a shovel. And just as he passed, this fella happened to catch his mate right across the ear with the shovel. And his mate was just telling him to be a bit more careful. And the priest happened to hear, and he looked down the hole. He said, the language out of you down there! Haven't you heard of Satan? The fella said, no. Jimmy, do you know a bloke called Satan? There's a fella up here with his lunch.
Three Irish fellas come home late to the digs and the Irish landlady. She said, what? You're a right pair, you three are. What time's this at night to come home in the morning? She said, if you want to stay here, you'll have to find somewhere else to go. Two drunks met on one aisle. It was dead funny. Two drunks walking down Market Street. And they met. One said, yeah, it's windy. He said, it's Thursday. He said, so am I. Let's go for a bevy. One Irish fella sitting in his digs and he's writing home to his brother. His mate said, what are you doing? You can't write. He said, yeah, my brother can't read.
Oh, it's great. Hello, all daft things. I was at this bar, see, and there's two chaps sat there. No, they were here on this side. And one of them looked at him. He said, you know, he said, I've just come back from Wales. Terrible place, Wales. He says, only two good things come out of Wales. He said, that's loose women and rugby players. And this big fellow walked up and tapped him on the shoulder. He said, hey, my wife's from Wales. He said, oh, what position does she play? He said, you know, I haven't seen you for a long, long while. He said, we were in the army together. What happened? Oh, he said, I'll tell you. He said, you're in the army. I used to play a little bit of piano. Well, I took that up professionally and became a concert pianist. And I speak nice, don't I, for Doncaster? And I've got nice eyes, look. See. And he said, my wife plays the cello. She's very, very good at the cello. And the little girl, she's learned the violin. He said, actually, why don't you pop around one night and we'll give you a recital? He said, that's very kind of you, thanks for inviting us. He said, well, by the way, what are you doing? Well, he said, you know, I used to do a bit of heavyweight, the lifting the dumbbells things. Well, I kept that up. I became a boxer, a professional boxer. And my wife, she took up wrestling, big lady, lovely big lady. And the little lad, he's a black belt in karate. Why don't you pop round one night and we'll give you a bloody good hiding?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's nice to see people out in the afternoon enjoying themselves. It's nice to see the lads out with their wives. It's nice to see their wives out, because most lads go out of an evening and they always leave their wives at home, don't they? Always leave their wives at home. They go out at about 2 o'clock in the morning after a belly full of beer. They start to panic. They jump in the car. They do 70 mile an hour all the way home, drive into the street where they live, switch off the engine and coast down to the front door, take off their shoes and socks. They creep up the garden path and say, shh, to the dog. Creep up the stairs, step over the third one because it squeaks. They open the bedroom door and they're praying to God she's going to be fast asleep. But they never are. They're always sitting up with their hair in curlers like little Hitlers. And they give you that frosty stare and say, I suppose you've enjoyed yourself out today with the boys, have you? You don't give a damn about me slaving and cooking over a hot stove all day. Your dinner's been in the oven since 3 o'clock and it's dried up. Hope you like your sprouts crisp. And she nags you till 6 o'clock in the morning. Don't go through the aggravation. Do what I do. I get home at 8. 90 mile an hour right outside the bedroom window and I slam the brakes on. Slam the car door. Kick the dog and the cat up and down the stairs. I jump up and down on the one that squeaks. I get on the landing. I take all my clothes off. I open the bedroom door and say, I'm in the mood. And 10 to 1, she's fast asleep.